It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast where we are searching for songs to add to our Spotify playlist to express the sadness over the potential demise of Liverpool's title challenge. This is Tariq joining you with a full panel this week. We have Karan from what has been just voted the city with the dirtiest air in India, Gurugram.
Hey guys.
And Vishal, of course, from right here in Bangalore.
Hey guys.
Karan, we hope you're wearing the mask as we speak.
Well, if I was wearing it as we speak, then I really wouldn't be very audible. Although I would still sound like Vader, so I guess that should be cool.
But Vishal, we begin with you and we talk about the weekend in the Premier League. We did a midweek episode. We did a couple of important previews, and those two derby games that we previewed both ended in draws, but in very different circumstances. And the teams that we wanted to take the initiative, the teams that we wanted to show some amount of effort, the teams that needed the results the most were the teams that disappointed.
Exactly.
So let's just go over the results quickly for somebody who, well, was under a rock and did not follow these two games. We had the Merseyside derby, Liverpool 0, Everton 0. I, before the start of the game, had said that last season there was a prosaic 0-0 draw at Goodison Park. Surely this time that's not what's going to be the case. Well, it turned out more or less the same thing. And Arsenal played Tottenham Hotspur in what was a rather entertaining 1-1 because it had enough drama. But again, we expected Tottenham to give a better account of themselves. But Vishal, clearly we are not as bothered about Tottenham as we are about the result, where Liverpool have dropped 2 points and now find themselves at the second position in the table.
Absolutely. And again, this is a situation where, in fact, we can segue into what we spoke last week, where all Liverpool needed to do was to just put out a performance and they would have won, because after the first 15 minutes, Everton really didn't have too much of a role in the game. Liverpool did their best to not score in this game rather than their best of scoring, where their finishing was atrocious, their team play was atrocious. I do not know where Liverpool, I really, really do not know where Liverpool went wrong here. I don't know why Origi started, just because if the logic of Origi starting was the lucky goal he scored against Everton in the previous game, I don't know where that came from. So because he really didn't have any impact, or in fact, there was one less player for Everton to mark during the game. And one of the biggest threats that Liverpool have is, even if it's playing with Shaqiri or even if it's playing with Sturridge, all of them are mobile players, and that gives the defenders something to think about. And Liverpool missed the bus there as well. So it was one of those games that I think Klopp got it wrong again. And yeah, yes, he did blame the wind this time. So Klopp seems to be doesn't seem to be too fond of the natural elements of the world, the wind, the dryness and all of that. So this time it was the wind, which was very weird. So
I hope it's not the water next week.
No, he's already used the water, by the way. He said the water on the ground ran out, so I'm not sure what next is.
So we'll have to check in on Munich to see what's going on there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're left with what? Earth, fire, we've had wind, we've had water.
And our captain.
The only thing left is for them to show some heart.
Oh, absolutely spot on, because that's exactly what's happened here. Because if you look at what City pulled off against Bournemouth was another professional performance, where they did not go out there to outplay Bournemouth, but they went there to win the game, and they won the game. And again, it was a scrappy goal. It was not a typical Man City goal. It was not a great move or anything of that sort. It was one goal and then defended very well. And if you look at what Pep Guardiola said after the game, this is not something that he openly says, where he said this was the performance of the season so far. And because one, Pep Guardiola knew the stakes that was there for this game, and two, he also knew the amount of pressure he put on Liverpool before the kickoff of the Merseyside derby, and it worked well. Klopp has been chipping into Liverpool's lead, and Liverpool have caved so far. So
you mean Pep Guardiola has been chipping into Liverpool's lead, but the case could be made that Klopp has also chipped in.
part is about City. I mean, until now, you know, they've been this wonderful, flamboyant, you know, extravagant side, you know, which will, you know, entertain, will go out there, entertain, and, you know, they will mesmerize the opponents as well as the fans alike. But now that, you know, we're at the business end of the season and where, you know, it's, you know, the backs to the wall kind of a situation, they've shown a completely different side of them, wherein they have proved, not just this weekend, but even the last weekend against West Ham, that they are able to even, you know, kind of grind results out when they are not necessarily at their
absolutely
flowing best, so which is absolutely scary.
This is genuinely the luxury of experience, right? This is a team that's been there and done that, and they're showing it. They're showing how game management works, how man management works, and how you need to really go out there and win or defend a title in this situation where Liverpool are trying to really go out there and outplay every opponent at this point in time, and we discussed this last time as well, and it's really not happening. So if it's not happening, you really need to figure another way to go out there and grind out the results, which Liverpool did well during the pre-Christmas period. So I'm not sure where it's falling off at this point in time. Their strikers look out of form. Zala and company looks definitely off form. So they really need to figure this out, because they have a couple of tough games coming in. But let's see how they manage this, because those games could make or break the rest of the year for Liverpool.
And I mean, you get to a situation where, from having the destiny in your own hands in terms of the title race, you hand it over to somebody like a Manchester City and Pep Guardiola, and the last thing you want to do is give a team like that and a manager like that the possibility to control their own destiny.
Exactly. Wow. Which is the biggest mistake Liverpool could have committed. Like we said, the regularity of these draws and the frequency at which it has happened has been a little shocking. Because you might as well have lost one or two games and got it done with, but Liverpool are drawing too many. And if you remember last season, exactly at this time is when Liverpool started dropping points as well, where Champions League knockout stages started as well, and Liverpool
and
started dropping a bunch of unnecessary games. And
in fact, they almost put themselves in a position where they could have missed out on the top four without that result on the last day, and this was the reason.
Absolutely.
But Karan, if we can bring you in here, going forward now, clearly Liverpool now sort of depend on other results, may or may not happen. Manchester City play ahead of Liverpool for another couple of weeks at least, which means in both those weeks, it could be potentially a situation where Liverpool go into their game 4 points behind. How much pressure does it put on them? Or like you were saying the other day, can we make the case that Liverpool might finally shed the fear and start playing free-flowing again? Because now that the pressure is off.
Well, I wouldn't say the pressure is off, because had this been, say, a 6-point deficit, and then definitely the pressure would be off. But I think we shouldn't write Liverpool off completely. It's still just a single point. But the worrying part is that this has been a culmination of, 3 to 4 or maybe even 6 weeks of performances. Yes, there has been the odd performances where, you know, they've really kind of, you know, put in a good shift and, really dominated the opposition. But other than that, it's been a case of, firing blanks. And for some reason, suddenly out of the blue, over recent times, the attacking third of Liverpool, which has been their biggest strength in the last couple of seasons, has started to fire blanks. And even on quite a few occasions, you had players like Firmino coming on off the bench and then, you know, kind of rescuing points. I think there is a case to be made that, you know, Liverpool have ridden their luck a little bit, a good portion of the season. But at some point of time, that was going to run out. And that's when, you know, you needed to show that, yes, you still have the metal in you to kind of, you know, go ahead and push on. So, again, it's
down to mental character now.
It's a hard situation to be in right now, but it's all is not lost. But the main thing is now with 9 games left, with City in the lead, can you, between both these teams, which is the team that you would put your money on to probably win 8 or 9 games in a row? It would be City, and it's as simple as that. But
or go through those 8 or 9 games unbeaten with let's say some 7 odd wins.
Yeah. No, I'm saying even wins. I mean, this City team is capable of winning 8 in a row, considering also the fact that, like how we discussed a few weeks back, the fixtures that they have is a lot more beneficial to them as opposed to the fixtures that Liverpool have the remainder of the season.
Which also includes a fixture against Tottenham Hotspur. And of course, that was a team that could have put themselves in a position where that fixture could have counted for a lot. But for now, it might not.
Now, the key is, I think City still
still have to go to Old Trafford in a couple of weeks' time. So that just takes on, and I think, epic proportions for different reasons.
I could have lived without that reminder.
And could we bring back Jose Mourinho for an encore?
No, but... please no. I'm smiling again, guys. Come on.
Okay. All that aside, we are set for quite the finale of the season, whichever way this goes, because like Karan says, it's just a single point, and you never know in the Premier League.
Absolutely.
Weirder things have happened. We don't have to go too far back.
Yeah.
About 7 odd years should do it.
Yeah.
However...
Karan, I still blame you for this. Yeah, sure.
We haven't had a title race like this on record, on Soccer Sense at least, because we started in 2013. But let's sort of close out the podcast by talking about something that we had been wanting to, especially about Manchester City, in terms of the clear ambition that they're showing in the Premier League and the way they have been playing, but more importantly, things happening off the field, which kind of talks about Manchester City as a broader football organization, Vishal. If you want to talk about the developments that they're looking to buy a club in India.
So interesting news that came out is how Manchester City are very keen on investing in a club in India. And this is not surprising, because currently the owners of Manchester City, under the banner of Manchester City, own clubs in Spain, own clubs in China, own clubs in Australia, and of course England. And also a club in Italy, which is in the second or third tier, which I'm not too sure of. So if you look at what Manchester City are doing, is one, they're building a business conglomerate which is not dependent on Manchester City, right? They're looking to build an individual entity in each country. And apart from building an individual successful entity in the future, they're not injecting steroids into any of these clubs and giving them millions and saying, go ahead and just start competing. What they're doing is they're building it from grassroots. If you look at Manchester City in specific, right? If you look at the trend of their investments in the last 2 years, it's been lesser on signing first team players and world-class players, and it's been more on investing in youth. And in fact, some of the top players coming into the English squad right now are Manchester City kids from Manchester City. And this is because Manchester City are investing disproportionate amounts of money in youth, in setting up the grassroots level, in bringing in good coaches for the children. And the same model is being replicated across the countries where they are trying to be present. And this is something that benefits football in general. And so for somebody who's a Manchester United fan, I'm actually envious about how they're going about it and how well this club are building themselves up now. Because if you really look at it, they have about 3 to 4 players who are already ready to come into the first team at the age of 18 and 19. And that's a great situation to be in.
And that's something we had not seen for a long time, and everybody thought that the Manchester City model would be sort of like the Chelsea model,
yeah.
Where it's finance and money first, but they seem to be going at that grassroots. Which, incidentally, Vishal, and I know the reason you're feeling envious from that point of view, because this used to be the Manchester United thing at one point of time.
Yep. United luckily have stayed true to the contribution of the youth system to their system, but you can look at Chelsea, right? Like you brought up Chelsea, they have been creating some great talent, but none of them have played for Chelsea over the last decade, and all of them have moved on from Chelsea at one point or the other, and that's a pitiful situation for a club like Chelsea, where their local homegrown players can never break into the first team. And now Manchester City, for a club who's looking to build a legacy, looking to build a certain identity for themselves, and this is when you know that this club is not in it for the short term. This club is looking to dominate football, in English football in specific, and European football in general over the next decade or so, at least, because the way they're setting up, this is going to be one of those German type setups where there's going to be a conveyor belt of world class players going to keep coming in. And if you look at it, they're going to be bringing in players from Spain, they're going to be bringing players from India for in the future, maybe they're going to be bringing in players from Australia. So there's a lot of potential that they're really building, and they're building, and whatever they're doing right now is good for football in general.
Okay, and Karan, from a financial point of view, how do you look at City's play here, and does it make sense?
It definitely makes a lot of sense, because basically what Manchester City are doing is what Chelsea claimed that they wanted to do all those years back, right? They started off with, you know, a billionaire owner taking over the club, and then, you know, initially you thought that, you know, it's all about, you know, splash and dash, you know, spend big on first team players and, you know, buy success, as you would say, which ended up being the Chelsea model eventually. But with City, what's happening is they are looking to ultimately implement a self-sustaining model on their on the Manchester City business in itself, that, you know, at somewhere down the line it's going to reach a point where the owner is not going to be pumping in money into the club season after season, but still at the same time they are able to churn out talent at the at a youth level, and also with the performances on the field of the first team, it is they're always going to be one of the clubs to, you know, attract top world-class players. So in that sense, it's going to be a case where, you know, the club kind of ends up paying for itself, as opposed to, you know, someone artificially pumping funds into the system. So, like I said, this is exactly what Chelsea claimed to do, claimed that they wanted to do all those years back, just that they've faced so many speed breakers on and off the field over the Roman Abramovich era that they've never been able to, you know, see it through. But Manchester City are showing that, you know, it is possible, and if anything, they're actually looking to achieve that goal in a shorter time frame than what Chelsea wanted to do. So I think it's a great achievement from their end.
And
if you really look at it from a pure business point of view, right, like something that Chelsea and all learned over a period of time is the clubs like United, clubs like Arsenal, already have an established fan base. And for them to really go out there and build a global fan base becomes tougher. And then sell global merchandise becomes tougher because you already lost a large chunk of fans. So if you look at City and the model they're going now, for example, let's say they buy an Indian club, their money is not going to be dependent on people buying Manchester City equipment or Manchester City gear, which is in fact one of the biggest sources of revenue. Their money will come in from people buying the local club's gear. And so the self-sufficiency of this model that they're going on is something that I really, really like. And I think this, in the long run, I think a lot of clubs who are respective, who are trying to, you know, inject a lot of money into football, should really keep a close eye on City, because they've learned from other clubs' mistakes and they're doing it the right way. And the biggest testimonial to the fact is that Pep Guardiola is not quitting 2 years down the line or 3 years down the line. He looks at this as a long-term project, and he's not been excited about this project when he was at Barcelona or Munich. So they seem to be doing something very right about what they're doing.
And like you said, Vishal, a little while earlier, that they seem to be creating these independent entities in different countries,
yes,
which are brands by themselves,
yes,
and trying to make a global conglomerate. In the entertainment space, I can potentially think of only one other brand that talks about this scale, and that would probably be Disney. So it could be that Manchester City could become the Disney of football.
I mean, I don't think 10 years or 15 years back, none of us would have even thought of a term called football conglomerate, but, you know, here we are.
Great
people, great minds at work.
10 years ago, you were watching Manchester City get walloped by Southampton, but nonetheless, it's a very different story a decade on. And it'll be interesting to see where it goes a decade later. But right now, our focus is the next 10 weeks and, of course, this title race and where that takes us. And our heart medication bills, we will find out over the next couple of months or so. In the meantime, that's all the time we have for this episode of Soccer Sense. You can find us on Twitter at Sense Soccer. Otherwise, you can subscribe to us on Audioboom at audioboom.com/channel/soccer-sense. Or you can subscribe to us on any of the other podcasting platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, as well as Spotify. So look for us under those. In the meantime, I will still be adding sad songs to the Liverpool title race Spotify playlist as we go on.
Maybe let me just get you started on that. Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Straight from Merseyside.
This is Tariq signing off along with Karan.
See you guys.
And Vishal.
Thank you to Arsenal and Spurs for helping us get to number 4.
See you guys next time.